Well, if you're a preacher and you decide to preach using the text of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, you need to know in advance that on a sunny day, your work is going to get the bronze, if that. It's got the hallmarks of a colloquialism on what makes for a good sermon. It comforts the afflicted, and it truly does. It's where we find the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. It comforts the afflicted. It also afflicts the comfortable. So buckle up, Jesus says. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Yeah, good luck with that. Because our enemies are wrong and we're right. Right? Oh, wait a minute. He goes through some of the Ten Commandments in here too and kind of gives them a reinterpretation. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not kill. And we're going, yeah, I got that one. I mean, one out of ten. He said, but I say unto you, everyone who says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. Whoops. Where he's not only talking about behavior, he's talking about emotion. He's talking about feelings and the thoughts and the emotions that sometimes drive our behavior are at least as problematic in some ways as behavior that comes from. Even if we shut off the behavior that we're dying to do, well, with respect to sin, still got it. Feeling afflicted yet? Stewardship is a watchword. A theological term in our tradition. Usually it means it's pledge time and we need to be good stewards of our money. And sometimes it means stewardship of our time. What do we do with the time we have between work, home, and other things? But I want to talk today about stewardship of emotions, particularly the emotions that Jesus is talking about and what they lead us to. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Anyone who says, you fool, shall be liable. I got people, I suspect you too, that just make you so mad. Right? They infuriate me. I can't stand to be around them because they make me mad. There's a body of psychological research that says that is an illusion. Nobody makes us mad. But rather, anger is an emotion that we almost instinctively and often without thinking about it, we choose to be mad rather than what's usually beneath it, something perhaps even more painful or more unpleasant. The theory goes something like this, that the people that just walk around with the attitude of, give me a reason, you know, they instinctively blame other people for everything. They never apologize for anything. They've just got, you know, and it's sort of like what a skunk does. You know, when attacked, it just sprays. And the object of the game is to keep other people away. Well, mission accomplished. But underneath that, arguably, is a deep level of insecurity. A deep sense of being not worthy. A deep worry about being found out as an imposter. A deep fear. And anger feels better than fear. Well, I've got two things working here. First of all, anger is a choice. And as stewards of emotion, it behooves us, I think, to say to ourselves, righteous indignation and anger are sometimes relevant and useful. But it's a stewardship question. How much of this and under what circumstances? Because it may be that the next step is to ask ourselves, what are we afraid of? And that takes us to a deeper level of emotional connection. Stewardship of anger, because anger is a choice. Stewardship of fear, because fear protects us. Fear is sort of the emotional equivalent of pain. You've maybe seen the comedy routine where the guy goes, Doc, it only hurts when I do this. And the doc says, don't do that. Simple, right? It's a wake-up call. There's a physical disorder that prevents people from feeling pain, and they live miserable lives because they wound themselves all the time and don't even know it. Pain protects us. So also does fear. Jeannie and I were coming out of a play in New York several years ago and looking for a cab, and we're kind of just wandering in a direction where we thought cabs might be, and suddenly found ourselves heading toward a dark and lonely place. And this little feeling you get before that you're even cognitively aware, that's turn around, go back to where the lights are, you'll find a cab there. That's the emotion, that's the feeling that really protects us. We live with a lot of fear. Things scare us these days, you know. School shootings, terrorist attacks, and all manners of other things. But in perspective, they're just on the list of a lot of things that could end our lives any given day. On that list, I mean, think about it for a second. If you paid attention to all of the ways that you might be hurt or have your life end every day, you'd never get out of bed. And then with your luck, the pecan tree in your yard would fall on the roof and get you anyway, right? I mean, it's silly, but think about it. When I worked for the YMCA, I was a volunteer for a while and then worked for them as a paid employee and professional for about 10 years. The motto of the YMCA was knowledge replaces fear. That we are afraid most of all of the things we know less about than we might. You know, investigate what scares us. And maybe relative risk helps. Perhaps the knowledge, and this is sort of silly because the knowledge is self-evident, the knowledge that our lives are far more at risk getting into our cars and driving to Lubbock than they are from a terrorist attack or a mass shooting or some of the other things that vividly scare us because we wind up hearing so much about them, often from very angry people. But even groups, religious organizations or faiths that are different, a little bit of knowledge puts fear in perspective. And I think as a steward of fear, as helpful and as protective as it is, knowledge in balance with fear, I think takes us to even the next emotion. So as stewards of emotions, we recognize that anger is a choice, that fear is a protective device. But knowledge replaces fear and leads us, perhaps, to a greater level of tolerance. Now, tolerance is a powerful thing. It's also somewhat elusive. It's elusive for everybody. The most liberal, progressive person I know is intolerant of intolerance. Well, the emotion is the same, as it were. But I read something a week or so ago that just stopped me in my tracks, and I had to write it down because I want to be precise about this. A professor of law at Rutgers University named David Dante Trout wrote a rather lengthy op-ed about several things. But the punchline was this, and it just stopped me in my tracks, and I've been thinking about it ever since. Millions of Americans have turned tolerance on its head. Tolerance used to mean exercising our highest aspirations of inclusion, even when we were uncomfortable or unfamiliar with someone. But now, tolerance has come to reflect how much hatred we will accept as a means to an end. How much hatred will we accept as a means to an end? Now we zip full circle back to anger, as it were. How much hatred will we accept for a booming stock market? Or maybe even a sense of greater national, international, or personal security? It's a tough call. Anger is a choice. Fear protects us. Tolerance is a prayer. Because we're not sure what might happen if we permit this or that or have a greater level of inclusion or acceptance. Tolerance is a prayer for the well-being of people we perhaps don't know as well as we might, or maybe even can't know for sure. Jesus says, love your enemies. Well, love is an interesting dynamic in and of itself. Love is really the sum of all emotions, because the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. The opposite of love is no feeling at all. So even anger and hatred is the reverse side of part of love. Now, there are people we know that are very hard to love and accept. There are issues and ideologies that we don't understand very well, that are very hard to tolerate. And yet we believe in a God who is boundless in God's love. So tolerance as a prayer, perhaps, is as uncomplicated as this, that we ask God's love to be with, name your enemy, name your fear, name your anger. How that works out is anybody's guess. But it can move us away from what seems to be instinctive, lashing out, running away, to instead taking a breath and saying a prayer. God be with us. And as it turns out today, that is the essence of what we reenact in about 1 minute. The real presence of God with us, in, with, and under the elements of Holy Communion that draw us together, that physiologically energize us, and give us spiritual impetus to be instruments of His peace. As stewards of emotions, anger is a choice, fear protects us, tolerance is a prayer for peace. Amen.